This is the Quality News Network. The court doesn't take weekends off in Britain. One of the two men arrested in the botched Glasgow airport car bombing will appear before Westminster magistrates tomorrow. 27-year-old Dr. Bilal Abdullah has been charged with conspiracy to cause explosions. The charges carry a maximum life sentence. The other man in the flaming SUV is still in the hospital with self-inflicted burns covering 90% of his body. Five more physicians with alleged links to the terror cell have been arrested in Australia. And the Philadelphia Inquirer reports that two of the seven physicians apprehended in Britain took the preliminary steps in applying for grad school in the U.S. One of those doctors and his wife were arrested near their England home a few hours after the airport incident. Their one-and-a-half-year-old son was placed with British Social Services. Security remains tight throughout England. Tomorrow marks the second anniversary of the double-decker bus and tube bombings that killed 52 people. Many visitors are also in town for the last day of Wimbledon and the first day of the Tour de France. A federal appeals court dismissed a lawsuit challenging President Bush's domestic spying program. In its ruling, the court said the plaintiffs, who were supported by the ACLU, had no standing to sue the government. U.S. postal inspectors are discounting the credibility of threatening letters sent to newspapers across the country that claim to be from within the Goldman Sachs brokerage. And they say, quote, "Goldman Sachs, hundreds will die, we are inside, you cannot stop us," end quote. The red-inked, handwritten notes were signed AQUSA. Goldman Sachs is taking the threat very seriously. The besieged Red Mosque in Islamabad has been fired upon by Pakistani forces. They've ruptured a fuel tank used for running generators. At least 26 people have died in the now four-day standoff. The number of illegal immigrants arrested at the U.S.-Mexico border has decreased by 24% over the past 9 months. Border Patrol agents attribute the decline to an additional 6,000 National Guard troops posted along the southwest border, additional detention space, and more interior enforcement. The record-setting heat wave baking the western U.S. is due to subside by the weekend. It's putting a drain on the power grid right now, taxing air conditioners that are working double time to keep people cool. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Proficiency in reading and writing is a crucial connection to higher learning for both youth and adults. Without the foundation of basic English skills, access to education and employment is severely limited, if not impossible, for an estimated 40 million illiterate and semi-literate adults nationwide. If someone you know needs help in learning to read and write, there are local groups that can provide assistance without the threat of embarrassment. The Monterey County Free Library System offers unlimited one-on-one classes meant to help anyone at any proficiency level step over the language barrier. Weekly classes are held at several free library locations across Monterey County at no charge. For more information on Monterey County Free Library's Adult Literacy Program, call 424-3564. This message brought to you by the Quality News Network.
Half a million years ago, Greenland was green. Researchers dug up ancient DNA from beneath an ice core and found evidence of insects and pine trees, revealing direct proof of a forest in southern Greenland. A glaciologist from the University of Canada said that, quote, "this part of the world was significantly warmer than people thought," end quote. Boeing is set to unveil its 787 Dreamliner jet on Sunday. The company has already pre-sold 642 of the new planes, even before the first one was put together. The jet is made mostly of carbon fiber, making it lighter and more stable than aluminum. The demand for financial workers means many college students who are accounting majors are getting numerous job offers, as well as perks such as vacations and sign-on bonuses. Labor Department reports that 132,000 jobs, driven by a very solid demand for goods and services, were added across the country in June, enough to keep the unemployment rate at a low 4.5%. Oil prices have gone above $76 a barrel amid fears of new violence and kidnappings in Nigeria. The 3-year-old daughter of an oil company executive is the latest victim. AAA reports that the average price for a gallon of unleaded is $2.95 a gallon. That reverses the recent downward trend. In May, prices nationwide peaked at $3.22 a gallon. The Dow's up 46 points at the close today. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America. Welcome to verse 10, chapter 10, page 10, and book 10 of Strictly Confidential. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, and tonight I'll be serving up the homosexual agenda with fried green tomatoes for your dining pleasure. I couldn't be happier to be here and to have you along. Welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio, and thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. The show site is at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you're going to find links to all of our guests. You'll find links to the music. You'll find links to the chat room. You'll find a White Rose Society to get any of the archives you might want. And just the site's easy to use. It's a one-stop shopping network right there. Just stop by. We're glad to have you again with us tonight. I got a nice email this afternoon from Mr. Estes, Steve Estes. He was with us last week. If you'll recall, he was the historian who was our guest regarding the Outranks exhibit at the GLBT Museum in San Francisco. The Outranks is the exhibit that covered gay history from in the military, specifically from World War II all the way up through Vietnam and Iraq. In any case, if you'll recall, when we closed out that evening, we asked him if he had any other references for folks who were up to speed on gay history, that we would certainly like to be referred to them. And he has done that today. He was a very nice note. He's thanking us for the interview and that he had a great time. He's referred us to a fellow who is recently published, and he's a historian, and he's with the University of California in Berkeley. So we'll be contacting him soon and setting up an interview with him. The call-in numbers are area code 304-658-5912. That rings in West Virginia. Temporarily, our toll-free lines are down. This was due to a huge storm which knocked out the Comrex system in our studio in West Virginia. We should have that back up and running soon. The system has been shipped off to the manufacturer for repair. So for right now, we'll have it ready soon, but for right now, it's a toll call. It's 304-658-5912. So jump in any time. Mail arrives to me at peter@headonradionetwork.com. That's peter@headonradionetwork.com. We have a lot of news and a lot of music to cover tonight. Fasten your seat belts. It's going to be an interesting ride. Looking forward to this. We have some wonderful tracks and some interesting news. Let's see what we've got. Let's start out here. You know, next week in Washington is going to be even crazier than even it is now. I mean, we know there are a bunch of nutcases up there, but next week, the totally unhinged are arriving in Washington, D.C. Yes, it's called Operation Preserve Freedom. And I got to tell you, the right-wing Christians are absolutely hysterical to stop the Matthew Shepard hate crimes legislation to add us to the list of protected people like they are. Christians are already on the list. In Washington, we're going to have Repent America, the Philadelphia 11, Elijah Ministries, the Bond Minutemen, Pass the Salt Ministries, America Asleep No More, Restoring America, and Life and Liberty Ministries. Man, they're going to be hitting it hard. They're having press conferences, they'll be lobbying, etc. What they're saying is that there is a disturbing trend that seeks to criminalize Christianity in America. And as it stands, their freedom of speech is threatened, and the freedom of all religion and Bible-loving Christians is a complete jeopardy. They're saying that Americans are under attack by Al-Qaeda and radical Islamists, and instead of combating the issue, what they're saying is that the government, or at least some people within the government, are more interested in criminalizing American citizens. Well, this is true, of course, but it's not the Christians. So the hate crimes bill, they say, is an attempt to take away their rights to speak out and express their freedom of speech. Now, of course, this is absolutely not true. They are still completely free to preach any verse they wish from the Bible. They are completely free to stand on the sidelines and call us faggots. They're completely free to say anything they like. The situation, though, is they can no longer kill anymore, or at least if they do, there'll be very severe penalties for that. No government official has the authority to determine our beliefs, regulate our faith, or punish our thoughts, they say. Well, this is absolutely true. No one's trying to. They're saying that every liberty-loving Christian should stand up for America, and that because those who hate God are working to criminalize them, and they're saying that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is being threatened by this new sin law. Really, it's quite amazing. They're going on about the disturbing trend that seeks to criminalize Christian America, and they're saying that left unchallenged, that the American experiment of liberty will lead to increased hostility toward followers of Christ, and that the American values are under attack by Al-Qaeda and the radical Islamists. Instead of combating the issue, it seems that some within our government are more interested in criminalizing Americans than protecting Americans. So they're saying that the so-called hate crimes bill is an attempt to take away the rights of Christians to speak out and express their freedom of speech. They always put hate crimes in quotes, by the way, because that just says to you, well, it's not really a hate crime, it's just what we call it. Of course, lies are completely outrageous. No matter how often you prove in public and you debunk these things, they keep spilling out the propaganda. It does not in any way attenuate or modify their freedom of speech. It's just meant to target those who commit violent crimes against people because of their class. Of course, the emails are going out from, you know, they have a huge email machine that's going out to all the ignorant people all over the country who are believing this stuff. The emails are flooding through from the Traditional Values Coalition, the Family Research Council. They're going to make this huge. They're just freaking out over it. I'll tell you why. It's going to affect their cash registers. You see, homosexual bashing is a huge industry, and if we were to join the ranks of protected, that would be one less thing that they have, on their side of the fence to show that we are indeed a threat. What they won't tell you, though, is that the ACLU, which of course focuses on free speech rights, supports this crime bill because it protects First Amendment rights and freedom of speech and freedom of association. They're not going to tell you that, though. When you hear this, you just won't believe it. They've got brochures. Hate packet crimes, they're called, or hate crimes packet. I'll be giving out, and they're sending this as an email. Hang on to your hat. It says, when one studies history, it is hard to ignore the process that targets people for persecution. For instance, how did Hitler convince Germany to cooperate with his final solution against the Jews? He managed it by marginalizing, by passing laws to deny them freedom, by using the media to dehumanize them, and then setting them up to become the scapegoat of Germany's self-loathing, hated, and failure as a nation. As Christians, we are deeply concerned that in America, we're on our way to doing the same thing to the Christians. Now, a lot of that is true. We are on the same path as Hitler Germany, but it's certainly not directed at the Christians. It's directed to any citizen who believes in a participatory government. It was strictly, sent toward gays, brown people from Mexico, the whole bit. It says that for years, radical left-wing groups have introduced and sought to establish hate crimes legislation and promote the homosexual agenda. Just recently, one of them passed the House, and a similar bill is currently being considered in the Senate. The legislation is not about guaranteeing homosexuals and cross-dressers public access to food, shelter, or internet. Things already protected by the law. These bills are intended to prevent Bible-believing people and pastors from preaching the Word of God. The intent is to censor freedom of speech, all lies, and to censor the freedom of religion in for American Christians. It's about threatening the church, they say. It's about saying if Christians pronounce what the Scriptures teach concerning sin and the crime of homosexuality, that they will be punished and they'll find themselves in jail. Then they go on to bring up the situation in Massachusetts that the activist judges, we've heard all those all those things before. In addition to that, they're putting up wanted posters. Yes, they are. It's the sort of wanted poster you would see in a post office that says in big print across the top, wanted. And the picture is of Jesus Christ with the crown of thorns. And he is wanted, apparently, for violation of the proposed hate crimes law in his teaching and in his book, The Bible. It says, Jesus Christ, also known as Lord, Savior, Redeemer, Son of God, Prince of Peace, Messiah. Identifying marks, scars along the forehead and the hands and the feet, and scars on the side. Known associates, Matthew, Mark, Lon. He is wanted for revealing the truth about homosexuality in the Bible and encouraging his followers not to offend God by committing such behavior. Very interesting, considering that Jesus didn't have a word to say about it. These people are just nuts. Absolutely nuts. They say that the legislation is going to silence Bible-believing churches. It's going to silence preachers about passages in the Bible. They can only be read. They cannot be spoken in church. They say it's going to elevate homosexuality and gender-confused individuals, such as drag queens, glory hallelujah, and cross-dressers, and she-males. Ooh, somebody's been reading a porn site. To the status of federally protected minorities. And these people will be considered equal under the law. Amazing stuff. They say it will interfere with local law enforcement. And here again they say hate crime. The word hate is in quotes because it's not really a hate crime, you know, if it's against us. They're saying that if you're a cross-dresser, they're turning that into a federal crime. Amazing stuff. Let me give you a little example here of why we need this. You know, in Alabama, there's a lot of rope. There's an awful lot of rope. And, you know, the homophobes in Alabama can find it pretty easily. And they found 18-year-old Scotty Joe Weaver. He was the first of this summer's Alabama victims. He was tied with a rope to a chair in his trailer in rural Pine Grove. He was beaten. He was strangled. He was stabbed. He was mutilated. He was partly decapitated over a period of several hours. His body was dumped in the woods and set on fire. And here's the kicker. After this guy did this to Scotty, he got in his car and drove matter-of-factly to the police station to inform them of what he had done. Because he says George made inappropriate sexual advances. And you see, he expected to get a reward. He thought that that was what you were supposed to do to homosexuals. He actually went and told the police proudly of what he had just done. Now, you know, how much more of this can we take? It just has to stop. It's very difficult, very difficult. Gee, I went on a long time. I guess what we need to do is go ahead and run a break, and I'm glad you're with us this evening. We'll run the first break. Thank you.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner, and you're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
It wasn't exactly Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the, you know, the 6 foot 7 inch Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes. Somebody's trying to make me stay,
you know I've got to be moving on. Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome back to Blind Date. All right, Tina, your last question.
Okay, number one, if we were to get intimate, what two words would describe our date?
Wine and dine.
Number two?
Wild and crazy.
Number three?
Communication and condoms.
Now that's my kind of man.
Don't rush into sex blindly. Be honest with your partner and use a latex barrier every time you have sex. Protect yourself and the ones you love.
This message has been brought to you by Redwood AIDS Information Network and Services with support from the Mel and Grace McLean Foundation.
And welcome back. Welcome back, and I'm glad to have you with me this evening. You remember last week we were talking about those crazy lesbian gangs? Apparently, according to the O'Reilly fellow, there were 150 lesbian gangs in Washington, D.C. alone. You were not safe in your house. Those lesbian gangs, if you recall, were armed. They had pink pistols. They were breaking into homes. They were stealing girls. They were making them have sex. It was an amazing story, all from O'Reilly. Well, as it turns out, we were, of course, right. It was complete lies. And the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which is GLAAD, is now involved with it. They are saying that they want both O'Reilly and Rod Wheeler, who is the so-called detective, to recant, to take it all back. They were using exaggerated, sensational language, and he... as of you claiming there were 150 gangs in D.C. alone. The report from the police department in the area and also from the Mid-Atlantic Regional Gang Investigators Network, it's an organization of 400 criminal justice professionals, saying that it's complete B.S. He's saying that there are actually 150 to 175 total gangs in the D.C. area. But out of those, only 9 are predominantly female membership. Furthermore, they have no idea if they're lesbians or not, and you certainly can't make the joke, the jump that it that they're all lesbian to attack and kidnap people. The report says there is no evidence whatsoever of lesbian gang epidemic in the region, and GLAAD is asking them to issue a follow-up report and a formal apology to the lesbian community. The O'Reilly Factors segment, it's essentially said that there was a huge number of gangs all over the country, and there were no statistics or credible sources for this. It was tabloid journalism, it was inaccurate, and it was just designed to feed homophobia. Well, GLAAD is also asking everyone to contact the vice president, or the senior, actually, of editorial news at Fox, and the executive producer of the O'Reilly Show, and the Fox News crime analyst. You know, I got to admire GLAAD, but you know, there's really no point in contacting Fox for anything whatsoever. These people are evil. They're liars. They're in the pocket of the Republicans. I mean, what do you expect from a network that handles Coulter? What do you expect from a network that has exclusive interviews with the Prince of Darkness, Dick Cheney? That's just amazing. And as long as we're on Fox, I just got this report in just before airtime, and there's some audio that goes with it. I have not the audio, so we'll hear that together when we run it. But apparently the Savage Weenie is calling Media Matters the homosexual mafia. Now, as best I can understand it, you know, anything that comes out of Michael Savage's mouth is always a bunch of lies and difficult to follow, difficult to understand. There's no rhyme or reason to it. So the best you can do is try to piece together some logic in it to try to at least survive hearing one of his rants. Apparently what he did, he repeatedly referred to Media Matters for America as the homosexual mafia and claimed that Media Matters accused him of assaulting Muslims. Now, this apparently happened because he criticized a description of one of the people in the England bombing, the failed car bombing. He was a surgeon, a neurosurgeon, and the media has described him as a brilliant neurologist. And Savage just couldn't handle that, but he went on, like in the next sentence after, you know, objecting to him being a brilliant neurologist, he went on to say that women who wear burqas are like Nazis and they want to cut your throat and on and on. So anyway, Media Matters contacted him and to complain about the fact that he was, beating Iraqi women and burqas. But of course, in the typical tradition of the way these people operate, instead of taking the point, what he did was, since he said it basically in the same sentence, you know, he didn't like the fact that the doctor was being called brilliant, and he said it in the same sentence with the attack on Iraqi women, instead of, you know, dealing with what they were complaining about, Media Matters, he went on and he jumped the gun and started saying that it was all about the radical left homosexual mafia and Islamists are working together to undermine talk radio. Yes, it's part of his crusade now. He's asking, why would the actual mafia and the Islamists agree that conservative talk radio should be taken off the air? Oh, dear Lord. You know, anything to cause a stir amongst their knuckle-dragging audience, it never ceases to amaze me. He's referred to Media Matters in the past as being a gay smear sheet, a gay website that attacks me every day. And, you know, the real shame about this is his program, The Savage Nation, reaches 8 million listeners a week. And that makes him the third most listened to talk radio show in the nation. He's only behind Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. That's pretty scary. You wonder why this dumbed down? Well, there's your answer right there. I'd like to hear the audio. I haven't heard it either, so we'll be hearing this together. And this is Savage apparently going on about how we leftists are homosexual mafia and trying to undermine conservative talk radio. Go ahead and run that, please.
Now, I know many of you are on vacation time. I understand that as well. Most of the country is in this kind of dozy, lazy, sleepy, business as usual. I don't blame you. I don't blame you for wanting to pretend America is what it was when your father was in this country. No, it's not your father's America. It is not your father's America at all. The radical Islamists are amongst us. They are in cahoots with the radical leftists. They are vigilant and they work 24/7. The radical left, the homosexual mafia, and the Islamists are all working together to undermine talk radio to begin with. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would the homosexual mafia, in the form of Media Matters, and the Islamists agree that conservative talk radio should be picked off and taken off the air? You have to answer that question yourself, because, A, you know that liberalism is a mental disorder. We know that what Islamists will do should they win anywhere. They'll kill homosexuals. They'll take away all of the freedom of women. They'll impose Sharia law, which means no law whatsoever. It's gangsterism. And yet, here's homosexuals at Media Matters. You don't talk about the gay mafia. You don't have to look any further than Media Matters. That's what it is. That's why they continuously try to catch me in saying something they don't agree with. And yet, what they don't understand is I'm actually trying to save them from destruction. Since I can't save them from self-destruction, maybe I can save them from destruction by the Islamists. But I could care less about them. That's their problem. This must be something their mother drank. I don't know what it is.
Pretty amazing stuff, huh? Never ceases to amaze me. We are the homosexual mafia, and we are in league with the enemy, as he would have us believe it. We're in league with the terrorists. We're in league with those Iraqis who never attacked us in the first place. And we're trying to gasp shut down the Fox News network and keep the knuckle-draggers from hearing this drivel, which is causing very quickly the decline of this entire country. It's just amazing to me. He went on, when Media Matters contacted him, he says, you know, when I see a woman walking around in a burqa, I see a Nazi. That's what I see. How do you like that? A hateful Nazi that'd like to cut your throat and kill your children. Don't give me this crap that what they're trying to do is a sacred ritual. It's not required by the Quran that a woman walk around in 7th century drapes. She's doing it to spit in your face. She's saying, you white moron, I'm going to kill you if I can. Well, basically, I don't blame her. That's how they see it. And what do you want me to do, mince words with you? I'm not going to mince words. We've gone too far in this country. So, yes, Media Matters complained about that. And what did we get in return? We're now the homosexual mafia. You know, I wish the homosexual mafia would write us a big, fat check. I'm sure they can afford it. You know, maybe Bill Gates is the homosexual mafia. You know, he just bought into Planet Out. He put a whole lot of money into that. Maybe it's Bill Gates. You know, we're going to have coming up very soon. In fact, let's see, when do we have that scheduled? We may not have it booked yet. We have an agreement, but we don't have her scheduled. We're going to have some one of the leading activists from the lesbian, well, activists may be the wrong word, some of the leading people from the Lesbian and Gay Aging Issues Network, LGAINE. They are a part of the American Society on Aging, which, of course, is the standard for information regarding aging. And that will be toward the end of that. I'm looking forward to that interview. And I bring it up because I'm going to tell you a little something about the Lavender Seniors. And what they are is they're folks that they meet. Well, they're gay and lesbian folks, and they're bisexual, they're transgendered, the whole bit. And they're over the age of 55, and they meet together. And they have members now from all over the country, but they're primarily in Alameda County, over in California, I believe. And the thing about it is that, you know, as the baby boomer generation gets older, you know, a lot of LGBT seniors are, you know, failing in health. They have no family, and, you know, sometimes they lose their homes when their partner. A lot of these people are not out, so they have a very small circle of friends. And when that circle of friends starts to die, they're left pretty much alone. So it's a different set of needs than you know, aging itself is a huge debacle, you know, how to care for people. But GLBT folks have some very special needs, and I'm looking forward to hearing it from those people. That will be a very interesting conversation that we have that night. And apparently there are groups. Hopefully we'll get some of those people from the Lavender group to give all. We got a very sad phone call the other evening from Jim. It was last evening. Jim's mother passed away, and our hearts go out to him. I know all of us, you know, losing a parent, especially your mom, is a very difficult thing to go through. We all go through a lot of, you know, analyzing our lives together and remembering good times and bad times. But Jim talked with us last night, and Jim's mom really is very fond of a song called Night and Day. And I have a version of it here that's done by Francis Fay. It was sent in by Daryl in Chicago. Thank you for sending that. And it's a very unusual version. And Jim, I hope you have not heard this track before, because you know, it's just, well, I know you've heard the track, but I hope you haven't heard this version, because it's really a nice surprise. So if you'd go ahead and run that for Jim, I'd appreciate it. Night and Day, it's Francis Fay doing the track.
I want you to hear this next song that I've recorded that I never do on account of the gay kids. There is one word, and I want you to hear the song. It's really a wild song. There is heaven right here on earth with those beautiful queens. I never do that song either. It's such a drag. And now, may I do my very first recording. Naturally my favorite song, with all due respect to Cole Porter. Hey! Do-de-ah! Do-da-do-do-de-ah! Do da do do re ah. Do re ah ah. Go now. Like the beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick-tick-tock of the stained clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating you, you, you. Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, makes no difference, darling, where you are. I think of you night and day, day and night. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you night and day. Under the height of May, there's a low, such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night. Night and day, day and night, night and day. Oh, oh, oh. Of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick-tick-tock of the steady clock as it stands against the wall. The crazy wall, the mad, mad wall, the Michigan wall. Hey, go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. Night and day. Olé, olé, what is there to say? Francis Fay, gay, 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 is there another way? Let me hear it now, let me hear it now, let me hear it now. Like the beat, 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 like the beat, beat, beat. Like the beat, 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 night and day. Dave Garraway, today's the day. Mary Kay, Johnny Ray. My first cousin, his name is Danny Kay. My kid brother in Chicago, his name is Marty Fay. Oy vey. One more time! Like the beat, 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 like the beat, 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 night and day. Oh, 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 Francis Fay.
Ah! And there you have Cole Porter, as you've probably never heard it done before. That was Night and Day, and that particular version was Francis Fay. And that's for Jim and his mom. Jim, we wish you well, and God bless you. I have an interesting story. This goes in our It Costs Money to Hate Us department. If you'll recall, the other night we did a little story about the black lesbian woman who was awarded, I think it was $6.7 million because of discrimination and harassment by the fire department in California. I'm not sure of the city. I don't have the article in front of me. We have another case of that. This comes from Trinidad, actually. A 29-year-old homosexual man was awarded $28,400 as compensation for being kept naked in a police station for over 3 hours while police officers ridiculed him about the size of his penis. Now, to be fair to this 29-year-old man, I think we've probably all seen the Seinfeld episode, and we're probably all aware of shrinkage. Now, a jail cell is actually a very cold place. It's all concrete. It's cold, trust me. And so this poor guy, I don't know, you know, I just think we ought to give him the benefit of the doubt. But in any case, the police basically lured him into the station. Now, what happened was the man and his partner were walking past the town police station. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. And two men who later identified themselves as police officers called out to him, not to his partner, but told him to come. They didn't give their names, and he got to the police station door, and one of the officers told him that an officer inside the station wanted to see him. So this guy's just walking along, minding his own business. And so he walks in, and he sits down at a desk, and the police officer sitting behind the desk just wouldn't say a word to him. So, you know, he waited, sat there, you know, while the guy filled out paper, wouldn't say anything for about 25 minutes, and finally said, "Well, why did you want to see me?" And the guy wouldn't answer him, and he repeated the question like five times. "Well, why did you want to see me?" And so he got up, and he was going to leave. Nobody was talking to him. He didn't know why they were calling. So at that point, of course, they grabbed him, and they arrested him for trying to leave the police station. Of course, he wasn't charged with anything. But they locked him in a jail cell, and they made him take off his clothes. He attempted to cover himself, but they made him move his hands, and they made him squat on the concrete floor for almost 4 hours. And what the police officers did was they kept walking back and forth and ridiculing him because he was gay, because, you know, he's a slight man. Apparently, you know, he was identified as being a gay person. Who knows, maybe the police knew him. They kept going on about the size of his penis. And, you know, eventually they took him out of the cell and just said, "Well, you're free to leave now." And would, you know, it just I've never heard such a blatant harassment case. If it was in the United States, the guy would have probably gotten millions. But here again, this goes, "It costs money to hate us," department. And speaking of hate, we all know about Fred Phelps and his evil troll gang. And we heard the song played the other night on Bob's show. I'm glad he did that with the... They're singing the "God Hates the World, God Hates Fags." You know, they're the ones that protested at gay funerals for so long, and now they're protesting at military funerals, saying that it's the reason that the soldiers are dying over there is because of gay people. You know, we have so much power. We control the weather. Apparently now all we have to do is somebody, you know, a couple of guys, a couple of women kiss, and a soldier, you know, God kills a soldier. You know, that's just the depth of this stupidity is amazing. But anyway, one of their little minions, one of their little 10-year-old minions, was apparently walking on an American flag while they were protesting this funeral of a National Guardsman who was killed in Iraq. And, of course, it's illegal in Nebraska to walk on a flag. It's called trampling a flag. Now, the adults were staying off the flag. I guess they knew it was you know, illegal thing to do. But they let the 10-year-old do it. So the mother of the 10-year-old, one of the Phelps tribe, was arrested. Or actually, she was charged, actually, you know, for trampling on the flag. And, you know, she was going to go to trial. She'll get, you know, jail for 3 months or $500 fine. But she's saying that, you know, her action is protected by the U.S. Constitution, that she let her child do it. But the thing is that she has asked the Nebraska chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union to represent her. And now the ACLU has said Friday that they still have not made a decision whether to do that or not. Now, I'm a member of the ACLU. As they say, I'm a card-carrying, tree-hugging, pinko communist fag. And, yeah, I'm a member of the ACLU. I pay my dues every year. And I understand what the ACLU does to protect freedom of speech. But I've got to tell you, these people are despicable. If the ACLU represents this bitch, I'm going to drop my membership in the ACLU and put that money into the Head On Radio Network fund on the donations page. We have, oh, by the way, on the homepage of headonradionetwork.com, we have a PayPal button for you to help support the network, keep the lights on and the stream running. But no, I just can't take that. Free speech, but you know, call me an American, call me not a true liberal, but I just can't abide with the ACLU representing that evil, evil bitch. Let's, I know what let's do. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's run our lesbian track of the night. We're going to do it a little bit out of order. We normally run that in the second hour, but we're going to run that a little early tonight. Now, this is absolutely marvelous. This track is by a woman named Meg Christian. and it is called Ode to a Gym Teacher, and it is absolutely fabulous. Again, thank Daryl in Chicago for sending this in. He sent in some really remarkable tracks. But this is for all of our lesbian friends. It's called Ode to a Gym Teacher by Meg Christian.
A big tough woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female meant you still could be strong. And though graduation meant that we had to part, she'll always be a player on the ball field of my heart. I wrote her name on my notepad and I inked it on my dress. Etched it on my locker and I carved it on my desk. And I painted big red hearts with her initials on my books. And I never knew till later why I got those funny looks. She was a big tough woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female meant you still could be strong. And though graduation meant that we had part. She'll always be a player on the ball field of my heart. Well, in gym class, while the others talked of boys that they love, I'd be thinking of new aches and pains a teacher had to rub. And while other girls went to the prom, I languished by the phone, calling up and hanging up if I found out she was home. She was a big time woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female meant you still could be strong. And though graduation meant that we had to part, she'll always be a player on the ball field of my heart. I sang her songs by Johnny Mathis. I gave her everything. A new chain for her whistle and some daisies in the spring. Some suggested points for Christmas by Miss Edna Millay. And a lacy, lacy, lacy card for Valentine's Day. Unsigned, of course. She was a big time woman. Sticks to teacher like a leaf sticks to a tree. One girl who runs the errands and who chases all the balls. One girl who may grow up to be the gayest of all.
I've had such a good time with that track. I must have played it 50 times. Man, I would love to have seen that concert. That was, again, Meg Christian. Just fabulous. I would just have given anything to have seen that. The woman's just hysterical. We're going to do a couple of short things here. By the way, the telephone number is 304-658-5912. We'd love to hear from you and find out what's on your mind and what you think about the stories and what you think about what's going on in this country. a couple of short ones before our top of the hour. It's about Garfield Mullings. Now, Garfield prays in secret. He has to worship when he's looking over his shoulder. You know, we're going back to that those damn people that are going to rally in Washington next week, you know, about how they're being persecuted and how they can't read their Bible if they hate crimes. This guy really does. This is real persecution, everybody. This isn't that fake, plastic, raise money persecution that the Christian church talks about. Well, the right wing words, anyway. Anyway, he has to worship looking over his shoulder because of what is called a gay church in Jamaica, and that could cost him his life. People have to be very, very, very careful at that Metropolitan Community Church, and he has to go by the name Mullings to protect his true identity and actually his life from his countrymen. This week he is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he's among about 1,500 members of Metropolitan Community Church for the Global Conference. He says it's overwhelming to be there, to be with so many people who, as he puts it, love the Lord. He said it's psychologically varying. This year there are 25 countries that are represented at the Scottsdale Convention meeting of the Metropolitan Community Church. By the way, we will have Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson. We'll have her this coming Tuesday. She is the top person. I suppose if there were a pope at MCC, she'd be the pope because she's the as high up as you can go. She'll be joining us this on the 10th of July. I'm looking forward to having her as a guest. We missed her before because of the fact there was a terrible storm, which no doubt homosexuals caused, and it took out the studio. But in any case, hate crimes in Jamaica are huge. People are being beaten and killed, and even the government is responsible for some of it. They go out and look for lesbians, gays, and bisexuals, transgendered folks, and they're trying to turn things around down there. And this is another thing that annoys me so greatly. You know, they say we're godless homosexuals, and here we have a man who's having to go by a fake name and risking his life to go to church in Jamaica simply because the man is a homosexual. Disgusting. Speaking of right-wingers, pro-family activist Barber is at it again. He is warning Maryland taxpayers that they're soon going to be forced to support the homosexual lifestyle right out of their pocketbooks. Now, Barber is the policy director for cultural issues for the Concerned Women for America. I call them Republican cows. Basically, I actually have more words that go there, but I'm not going to use them for fear of being terminated very quickly. Maryland, you see, appears to be on the fast track to becoming the 15th state to grant domestic partner benefits to homosexual state employees. I have of Mr. Barber, if you wouldn't mind, run that clip called Maryland Taxpayers, please. Okay, we may have a problem at the studio with that clip, and I'm not sure, but we'll get to it a little bit later. And in any case, he's saying that the homosexual lobby's done a masterful job of convincing people that this is all about discrimination. He's saying that the benefits are conferred to gay folks who are not really entering into marriage. They're entering into some sort of phony monopoly money. He actually uses that phrase. He says it's like introducing counterfeit money into the economy, and that's how we drag everything down, because we are not able to offer anything to society in terms of helping people. He says that marriage is entered into for the benefit of society, and that homosexual relationships are not beneficial, and that homosexual relationships are very dangerous, he says, and involve high medical costs. And he has he says, "Oh yes, we have someone who has written in to support him. It's one of his supporters, and she's saying, homosexuality is a major threat to our lives as we know it.
Look at the major stars and their attitudes showing such spite on TV. I won't mention any names. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he put Adam and Eve in the garden. He used Miracle-Gro, I think. I added the Miracle-Gro line. Not Adam and Adam, not Eve and Eve. Hey, we didn't have a problem with this when I was younger. Why is it so prevalent now? I think it's sick, and believe that if it's your chosen lifestyle, you should keep it to yourself and go back into your closet. Get a grip, honey. Oh, I think we may have the clip loaded. Agnes, do we have that clip ready to roll now? He's making these statements. This is from Maryland. Okay, still not loaded, and that's not a problem. Let's see. That story's a little bit too long. So, so we're going to have this person as a guest very soon also. This is a Focus on the Family is very upset about the community center that's coming up that was just built in Chicago. We're going to have Courtney Reed, who's the senior director of the Center on Halsted, which is a brand new, very, very large, 65,000 square foot gay community center in Chicago. She'll be our guest on Monday. Focus on the Family is not pleased. What they're saying here is that regarding the $20 million top-of-the-line gay community center that opened in Chicago, Focus on the Family has this to say. With this new $20 million gay community center in Chicago, more evidence that, in fact, the homosexual community is one of the wealthiest and most privileged and powerful influential groups in this country. Yet they continue to demand special rights and recognition from society at large, all based on their self-identification with sexual behavioral preferences. It's astounding. It's sobering to those like us who hold a biblical view of creation and God's creation of sexuality. Well, you know, excuse me, but does a community's ability to envision a building and come up with financing and raise funds for it, does that somehow negate our right to claim discrimination? I'm sorry, but, you know, that doesn't float. You know, you got a lot of nerve. And that's the rumor that all of us are rich and wealthy, you know, that because we don't have kids and all that sort of thing. Well, there are a lot of gay folks, trust me, that are, you know, discriminated against in their employment, and you know they're lucky to, you know, work in a restaurant and get paid under the table. Never ceases to amaze me the way all of that works out. Let's see, I think we may have time to. This one will be a little bit over the break, over the top, but that's okay. This is from the Traditional Values Coalition. And now they say, this is another one of those right-wingers. Well, see, back in 2003, there was an email that was distributed to the employees of a company in Oakland, California. The company was, it was California's Community and Economic Development Agency. Okay. So the email that went out to the employees was regarding, you know, the National Coming Out Day rally, and it really upset a couple of Christian workers, and they decided they were going to do something about it. They were upset by seeing, you know, this someone mentioning the gay pride parade, and so they formed something called the Good News Employee Association. Yeah, that's good news. All right. Yeah, it's good news, ladies. And what they called it was a forum for people of faith to express their views on contemporary issues of the day with respect to, you know, the natural family, marriage and family values, the whole bit. So to promote this group, these nice Christian ladies, they posted a flyer. And the flyer was titled, Preserve Our Workplace with Integrity. And they put it on a cup bulletin board, and actually, the bulletin board is located very close to one of the gay employees in workstation. And it prompted the employee, she was a lesbian employee, to complain to the company. And the company told the ladies to remove the flyer. Now, they also told them they could repost it if certain editorial guidelines are followed. But instead of making any kind of changes, oh no, they weren't going to make any changes. Instead of doing that, they decided to file a lawsuit because they're being discriminated against. And the court ruled that, in fact, the company does have the right to limit employee speech, to protect other employees, to promote, cohesion in the workplace, et cetera. And the Court of Appeals even specifically spelled out why that they don't have a case. And it goes back to the fact that, citizens, the American government will not stifle your speech, or at least they're not supposed to, but employees certainly are allowed to in order to protect their own interests. The only limit placed on their free speech was the removal of a single flyer from the wall, and furthermore, the employees were, given a warning, and they were given the opportunity to rewrite it and put it back up again. But no, they weren't going to have that. It was determined that the employer's administrative interest of protecting all employees outweighed the employees' claim that their freedom of speech was violated. But of course, since the employees identify as Christians, the message was that it was all biblical. We are being discriminated against because we're Christians, and it's, on and on and on. You've heard it all before. There's no reason to really go through all that. They keep highlighting words like marriage and natural family and family values, and they're painting it as if the employer banned those words from the flyer, natural family, etc. But that is absolutely a lie. They weren't banning the words family values. It was the entire message. It was the message that was disruptive and discriminatory, and they could have actually rewritten it, but again, they preferred not to do it. The problem, of course, lies with the fact that Christians hate us. They hate gay marriage. They hate gay families. And so they code everything. You see, they have to hide behind these code words like family values, which is, of course, meaningless. It's been taken over by a bunch of jackals. So whenever gay people protest against their campaigns, they try to make it look like the gay people are against family values. The memo that the judge most certainly did not issue a memo saying that Christian employees couldn't use words like family values or marriage, but that's what they're claiming. Typical stuff. Let's go ahead and do a top of the hour break, and I'm going to wet my whistle, and we'll see you back in just on the flip side.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush inadvertently received a happy birthday gift from the Federal Appeals Court today in their dismissal of a lawsuit that challenged his domestic spying program. In their ruling, the court said the plaintiffs, who were supported by the ACLU, had no standing to sue the government. The Liberty City 7, the group that allegedly schemed to blow up the Sears Tower and other high-rises in Los Angeles, Miami, New York, and Washington, goes to court this fall. Prosecutors say that they were in the serious planning stages when they were arrested in the poverty-stricken neighborhood they took their name from, the Liberty Square Housing Project in Miami. The court doesn't take weekends off in Britain. One of the two men arrested in the botched Glasgow airport car bombing will appear before Westminster magistrates tomorrow. 27-year-old Dr. Bilal Abdullah has been charged with conspiracy to cause explosions. The charges carry a maximum life sentence. The other man in the flaming SUV is still in the hospital with self-inflicted burns covering 90% of his body. Five more physicians with alleged links to the terror cell have been arrested in Australia. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports that two of the seven physicians that were apprehended in Britain took the preliminary steps in applying to graduate school in the U.S. Security remains tight throughout England. Tomorrow marks the second anniversary of the double-decker bus and tube bombings that killed 52 people. Many visitors are also in town for the last day of Wimbledon and the first day of the Tour de France. Postal inspectors are discounting the credibility of threatening letters sent to newspapers across the country claiming to be from within the Goldman Sachs brokerage firm, saying, quote, "Goldman Sachs, hundreds will die. We are inside. You cannot stop us." End quote. The red inked handwritten notes were signed AQUSA. Goldman Sachs is taking the threat very seriously. The number of illegal immigrants arrested at the U.S.-Mexico border has decreased by 24% over the past 9 months. Border Patrol agents attribute the decline to an additional 6,000 National Guard troops posted along the southwest border, additional detention space, and more interior enforcement. The record-setting heat wave baking the western United States is putting a drain on the power grid as air conditioners work double time to cool down and keep people, especially the frail and the elderly, comfortable. Similar conditions are expected through the weekend. You're listening to the Quality News Network. More next.
Huell Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. I just wonder why you think it's important to bank in a local bank.
Because it's here in our community, in our area, and we tend to find that they have the best service for us. They are always there when we need them.
Do you like the idea that it's a local bank with big bank services and benefits?
You get all the benefits of the big banks, but you walk in, people know who you are.
Yeah. Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Absolutely. They have the resources, but of course the personal touch of a local bank.
I am here once a week. Yes.
Taking money out.
Taking money out. I'm putting it in and taking it out.
So you're doing a lot of banking in here.
I carry it in wheelbarrow.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
500,000 years ago, Greenland was green. Ancient DNA taken from an ice core drilled a mile and a half below the frozen continent's surface has found evidence of insects and pine trees, revealing direct proof of a forest in southern Greenland. A glaciologist from the University of Canada said that, quote, this part of the world was significantly warmer than people thought, end quote. Organic fruits and vegetables are better for your heart, according to new American research, than conventionally grown produce. A 10-year study suggests that nitrogen in the soil might make the difference. Boeing is going to unveil their 787 Dreamliner on Sunday. The company has already pre-sold 642 of the planes, even before the first one has been assembled. The jet is made mostly of carbon fiber, makes it lighter and more stable than aluminum. The demand for financial workers means many college students who are accounting majors are getting numerous job offers, as well as perks like vacations and sign-on bonuses. And the Department of Labor reports that 132,000 jobs driven by a very solid demand for goods and services were added across the country in June, enough to keep the unemployment rate at a low 4.5%. AAA reports the average price of a gallon of unleaded at $2.95 a gallon. Oil is trading at $72.81 a barrel. That's up a dollar. The Dow closed up 45 and three-quarter points today, and the NASDAQ was up 10. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential. A man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And welcome back to the second Alkley Confidential. I'm your host, Peter Godbold. I looked at my email and As my listeners know me so well, I got an email saying, "Peter, your mouth, you sound like you need to have a little drink of water." And yes, my mouth was dry. I have sniffles. I took some decongestants today, and I'm having a little trouble with a very dry mouth. Oh, you can't get anything past these people. I'll tell you what. Oh my. Headline: angry mob assaults peaceful Christians at the Chicago Pride Parade. Why is everything happening in Chicago? I'll tell you what, Chicago is just a happening place. They've got the Focus on the Family upset, and now they've got the Americans for Truth upset because their peaceful Christians were attacked at the Pride Parade. The Americans for Truth and the, let's see, who is the other group? The Concerned Women for America, the Republican hags, the Republican women hags. Very upset about it. Apparently, what they did was, I've got some audio clips here. What they did was they sent some people out into the into Gay Pride, and they wanted to hand out their freaking pamphlets. You're so sick. You need help. You need to pay $10,000 to come to our homosexual recovery center. And they were holding up signs that said fornicators, drunkards, And yet, they were peaceful Christians. I have several audio clips. Agnes, if you wouldn't mind, run part one. This is a short clip called Part One, Angry Mob.
Well, I'll let Pete and Dan get into the details, but they attended Chicago's so-called Gay Pride Parade this past Sunday and were witnessing to some people passing out tracts and basically giving the message that there is freedom from homosexuality through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power and love of Jesus Christ. And the response they got was shocking and appalling. And I'll let these guys go into it. Pete, can you give us kind of a rundown of what happened there when you guys were at the Chicago Gay Pride Parade?
Okay, that kind of sets it up there. They sent these peaceful Christians in to point out to these people that there's another way. Anyway, that's just a short intro. So let's go ahead and run part two of the Angry Mob.
And he was out passing out tracts. So, Dan, you can describe what happened.
Yes. After the parade, I had been asking God just to show me what to do there. I felt like part of my job there was to take pictures to expose what was going on. But also, I had all those tracts. I felt like part of what God wanted to do was to pass out the tracts. So after the parade, the police were in the process of taking down the barriers, and there's a big, steady flow of traffic, just thousands of people there. So I just started passing out tracts, people going both directions, and I had done that for about an hour. It wasn't an easy environment for passing out tracts. I was being jeered. One person ripped up a tract, threw it at me. Somebody else knocked the tracts out of my hands. There were two girls that were circling me, warning other people. I guess they were lesbians, warning other people not to take those tracts. And then after about an hour, a fellow came up, his name is Joe, and asked if we could work together. And said, "Oh, that sounds great. We can work together on this." So we prayed together. He set up, and he had a huge banner, which was a very effective banner.
I have the text of that banner. It looks like it was a 4x6 foot banner, which said, "Lied, stolen, lusted, homosexual, fornicator, drunkard, repent and call on the Lord Jesus to escape hell." And that was what was on the banner.
I didn't look at all the words at the time, but he started preaching, and all of a sudden the crowd changed. It was something I'd never experienced. The people started arguing first, then there was just huge laughter and mocking, and while that was going on, one lady approached me. I think it was one of the preachers from one of the churches that was marching in the parade in support of gay rights and so forth. That was one of the most appalling things I've ever seen. That was worse than any of them.
There's nothing quite like seeing people who claim to be Christians and churches marching in defense of homosexual so-called pride,
which is expressly identified as sin in Scripture.
Absolutely, and yet this is the latest tactic is to get the churches out there, defending the so-called gay pride.
Go ahead, Dan. So what happened at that time?
I was talking with this lady, basically defending the biblical view of homosexuality.
Can you believe that? Okay, they have lesbians circling around them. Ooh, they're taking pictures. And obviously they don't fit in, so they're holding up these Christian signs and taking pictures. Sure, I would be a little bit concerned, too. They're concerned that there are churches actually marching with them. We're indoctrinating the churches. Oh, me. Oh, my. Yet, oh, they were so abused. Oh, my. We tried to help people, because these things always end with, "We love you. We're just trying to help you. Never mind that we insult you. Never mind that we devalue your families. Never mind that we don't give a damn who beats you up and leaves you in a field to die. Never mind all that." Let's run the third clip from Angry Mob, please.
So during the Gay Pride Parade, apparently Chicago suspends all laws, and they're akin to Sodom and Gomorrah. I guess is that what Mayor Daley stands for there in Chicago?
Well, it's funny that you say that, Matt, because this happened in front of a White Hen Pantry, which is a sort of a 7-Eleven type store in Chicago, the Chicago area. And I went into the White Hen Pantry and said, "You wouldn't believe what's going on in front of your store." He goes, "Oh, I believe it. One day a year, Mayor Daley lets them do whatever they want." So obviously there's some kind of special rights going on here on what they now call Pride Day. They don't even say Gay Pride anymore, Matt. It's so politically correct. It's just Pride Day.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine those special rights? One day a year, that is one 365th of a year. On that one day, we get to do what we want to do. The mayor lets them do what they want to do. And that's bad. Yes, that's bad, because there's no law. You know, yeah, those are special rights. Those are special rights. One day out of the year, we can come out like Halloween, and then we're supposed to go back in our little closets and stay out of their way. These people, the depth of the stupidity and the evil of these bastards never ceases to amaze me. They've got no business out there. It'd be like the KKK handing out pamphlets back in the during the civil rights, when the civil rights, you know, all that was going on. It was huge, you know, the marches and Selma, Alabama, and then the KKK whining that, you know, the black people were circling me and they were mad. it's hard to wrap your head around it. Let's go ahead and run the last bit of audio. This is the fourth slice from "The Angry Mob Assaults Peaceful Christians."
Dan was there to share the gospel. He truly loves these homosexuals enough to tell them the truth of the gospel, which is that we're all sinners. You know, we can't celebrate any sin. We all struggle with besetting sins, each of us. But what if we were to say, take the one that we struggle with most and say, gee, I'm going to have a pride parade to celebrate gossip or lust or any sin. And the difference here is that they've taken one particular sin, which is homosexuality, and they said, this isn't a sin anymore. This is who we are, and we're going to celebrate it. And I know Dan Music. There's not a hateful bone in his body. It's a pleasure to work with him side by side. And to hear him come back from a situation in which he could have been killed, for goodness sake.
He could have been killed. Those lesbians, they could have whacked me. Oh, my God. There were homosexuals everywhere. And don't you see how these things always end with the martyred Christian who's out there trying to save us. And Jesus Christ, Jesus wept. You know, these people wouldn't know Jesus if he bit them on the ass. You know, they're all, you know, they want to mix it all up. It's all Old Testament. It's all, you know, quoting stuff that, you know, that they don't even follow the rules themselves. So, you know, then when they wind it all up, after they beat the hell out of you, they wind it up with, Jesus loves you. You know, these people just never cease to amaze me. When we come back from our quarter-hour break, we're going to talk about how the structure of this, the way it works regarding anti-gay posters, anti-tracks, that sort of thing. So let's go ahead and do our quarter-hour break, and I need to get another sip of water. Thank you, Agnes.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Each of us has the power to make a difference in someone else's life.
If someone you know comes out as gay or transgender, it may seem scary at first, but don't judge them because they're different from you.
They're looking to you for support. Be an ally and a friend.
Find out more at GLAAD.org. That's GLAAD.org.
We're going to do a song that you never heard before.
The music.
Get down. We're going to do a song that you never heard before.
The music.
And welcome back. Welcome back from the break. And I have to apologize to our good friend Kate. I didn't see you or your name pop up in production, or I would have taken your call before going to break. We have Kate with us, and I think there's an approaching storm. Are those homosexuals giving you a storm, Kate? What's going on?
I know. I don't know who kissed who out here. I'm damn sure it wasn't me. Yeah, we have what's called haboobs out here. That's like the root of hubbub. You know, it's a huge sandstorm. And it just blew in as I was calling, and anyway, so I got to keep this short. I got to go close the windows. I feel like a conversation radio diva tonight, twice in one day. I just wanted to thank you because you've covered a lot of heavy material this week, and it's very, very draining. I mean, it drains me, and I know what it does to you. And I just wanted to say thank you and give you a big hug from everybody who doesn't call in, because I know there's a lot of people who appreciate what you're doing, but it's been a heavy week for you, and I appreciate you. So thank you.
That's very sweet. That's very kind of you to say that. And yes, some of these articles, you know, I will go through some of this stuff earlier in the day, and yeah, I'll think to myself, God, I just can't do this. I just can't. Yeah. I just can't read this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to get the word out, and
that's
what we're doing. And I so appreciate you, Kate.
Well, I just wanted to give you back some energy, and just because I know it's just so draining, because this stuff is just so heavy, and it's just like, whatever. So I was going to say something else. Damn, I forgot what it was. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the gym teacher. Ooh!
didn't you love that?
Nickel.
It was fabulous.
Yes, that was our anthem back then. That was that back in the day, as they say. Yeah, oh, God, her and Holly Nance.
Oh, you've heard...
Oh, yeah.
You've heard it before. It was all new to me. I had never, ever heard it before. I thought it was, oh, this is fabulous. I had no idea.
Oh, well, then you got some dyke tunes you've never heard before. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll have to take care of that. Whoever the music people are out there, you've got a whole library that you don't even know about. Yeah, good.
I'm sure I do. As a matter of fact, Kate, I've been thinking to myself, what am I going to do when I run out of lesbian tracks? God, I'm going to run out.
No, don't you worry about that. We'll take care of it. Got your back. Oh, God. Anyway,
Thank you.
I'm standing out here like it's dirt in my mouth, and I got to go. So
okay,
I
sweetheart.
Just wanted to,
okay,
I just
you,
wanted
you
to,
go.
I just wanted to give you a hug and tell you thank you for all the energy that you, and do something good for yourself this weekend to get it all back. You know, your energy.
Thank you.
Bring it up. Bring
Bless
it up.
Your heart. Thank you.
Take care, babe.
I love
Bye-bye.
You, sweetheart. You have a good evening. That's our good friend Kate. Bless her heart. The homosexuals have whipped up a storm. She's going to be stomping on the cellar going, Annie M., let me in. You know, it's really not funny. You know, as dry as it, well, you know, we could go into global warming. I mean, it, you know, my listeners are very smart people. We know what the issues are. You know, sometimes I think to myself, well, you know, there's no point in even saying this because they already know this. But, you know, all I can do is give you, is put a GLBT slant on it, because that's the lifestyle. I know. Well, the production chat is telling me that gays cause global warming, too. No, we just can't win. You know, the other night we were reading a parody of anti-gay tracks called The Heterosexual Agenda. I'm not going to actually read through the rest of that. You guys got the idea of you know, what it's like to have that sort of thing directed at you. But what I do want to cover is this part about how to write an anti-gay tract in 15 easy steps, because that's what was going on in the segment just before the break, where these peaceful Christians were handing out these tracts. Well, you know, maybe the tracts were ticking because they've heard that crap before. Do you ever think about that? That we, you know,
You people must think we are really stupid. You know, all your little arguments that you put in your tracts and you hand out to us. Sweetheart, we've heard this crap all our lives. We know your freaking arguments better than you do. Since we could crawl, we've heard this mess. You know, you're not telling us anything we don't know. You're not telling us anything we haven't heard from people twice as smart as you. But God called him, and I was praying to the Lord, and the Lord wanted me to hand out these. You see, they're obsessed with their freaking little tracts. No human contact. No humanness there. No, we're going to hand you a tract, and this is your, you know, this is how you're going to find God. It's absolutely ridiculous. That's 10:25. Anyway, I'm going to start. We won't be able to probably do it all before the break, but we're going to start. In any case, the first step in writing an anti-gay tract is set the stage. You see, most anti-gay tracts begin with a short opening section. You know, it's where you quickly dispense with the notion that gays and lesbians are actually human beings. You know, let alone neighbors, let alone family, let alone, you know, fellow Americans. What they have to do is you have to make gays and lesbians faceless, sex-obsessed, a horde of people, you know, representing a dark and ominous force of the American culture. It's important to do that right away. You have to get your readers on board quickly so that they overlook the complexity of gay people's lives, the fact that they're loved by their families, the fact that they have children, the fact that they get up and go to work, the fact that they risk their lives to go to church in Jamaica, you know, little things like that. It's just about sex. So that's how you do it. You first set the stage. All right. The second thing is you talk about sex a lot. See, the way the anti-gay tracts work is you have to give a detailed description of sexual practices. Now, the way that works, you know, talking about sex can be, you know, rather gross, and nobody really wants, you know, nobody looks good if you start talking about their sex life and focusing on it as if it's a one-dimensional representation of the human being. So you want to get your audience to share your revulsion. You know, you want them to get them to think, you know, that gays and lesbians are disgusting. So you talk about sex as if it's the only thing that matters to gay and lesbian people. See, this is what they were handing out the other day. Not love, not relationships, not families, nothing. So the way you do that is you never, ever use the term gay or lesbian. You have to keep focusing on sex. So you use the word homosexual so that the person who's reading the tract keeps coming back to the sexual part of it. And this is another aspect of it, too. These tracts are not written to help gays and lesbians. They hand them out to us, you know, on the surface at these, you know, pride parades or whatever they find us. What they're done, what they do, these tracts are actually written for straight people to read, the church people to read, so that they will send in money to support the church in defending them from these homosexuals. That's what the purpose of the tract is. So it's important to emphasize the word sexual. It's always homosexual, the sexual aspect. You have to get across to them quickly at the beginning of the tract that gays and lesbians are sexually obsessed, and, you know, it's that's the second step. That's the second step. Now, the third step is to use plenty of references. You know, see, an abundance of references gives your article or gives your tract a scholarly tone, and it builds up trust with your readers. See, they're never going to read all those footnotes down there, but if you start putting, you know, all these footnotes, regardless of how irrelevant this is, or whether, you know what I'm trying to say. As long as you put lots of footnotes there, you know, the additional, there's another beauty of it, too, with the, you know, nobody reads them, you could quote them from any source you want to, and whether they mean anything or not, you just put in lots and lots of references. I mean, they have to be real references, but they can be irrelevant. And you want to cite authoritative sources, too, for some of your initial, at the very beginning, like, you know, government surveys so that they can see that, you know, these are statistically sampled, probability sampled, in other words. So your initial references need to be fairly solid, but not necessarily on target, but as long as they come from some reliable source, then you can start just slipping in any kind of a reference you want to, whether it's statistically accurate, whether it, you know, it came from some, you know, advocate magazine sex survey. Just doesn't matter at all. It's very important to start citing those sources. Now, And as I said, well, that's actually step five. You slip into the less reliable random surveys. And since nobody's going to read it anyway, you don't even actually have to say that, you know, it was probability sample, because, you know, the fact that you didn't say it, if they assume it is, you know, you just slip it in. People will never notice these things. And you, of course, you cite the casual surveys, like the, you know, like some bored guy, is filling out one of these advocate, what do you like to do in bed surveys. Well, they love those. They love to go out and get those things. They're not statistically accurate in any way whatsoever, but that's what they like to do. All the casual sex surveys, anything to pull in some dirt, that's what they're after. And it's also important to pull in studies from clinical research, especially if it's a sexually transmitted disease or an AIDS medical research study. Because, you see, then you're basing it on a population of people who are very sexually active and not necessarily in any kind of relationship. So you can really make things look really, really juicy. You encourage, in other words, you need to show that, you know, risky sexual behavior is a standard ingredient of the gay lifestyle, etc. We'll continue this when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, and the next section is manipulate the data, but we'll do that when we come back. We have some more music to play, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. When Bush let Scooter off the hook, he managed to place himself on the hook of cover-up. As Al Gore has noted, it's quite possible, and I'd say indisputable, that Libby was covering up for Bush and Cheney, and now Bush has perfected that cover-up by springing Libby from the possibility of jail, thus eliminating any incentive he might have had to come clean. Stay dirty was the P.S. on the commutation, and keep your mouth shut. And if you do, you'll be taken care of, probably with an all-out pardon before Bush leaves office. But the audacity of Bush's move may finally be catching up with him. Representative Robert Wexler of Florida is introducing a bill to censure Bush. It reads, "In commuting Mr. Libby's sentence, President Bush has finally and unalterably breached any remaining shred of trust that he had left with the American people." John Conyers, head of the House Judiciary Committee, is planning a hearing on this, to which Tony Snow responded with all the arrogance of the White House, "Knock yourself out." These guys believe they're accountable to no one. It's up to Congress and to all of us to prove them wrong. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Mark your calendar for Saturday evening, July 21st, because at 9 p.m. until midnight Eastern, Billy Shears will be right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. You're going to just love night sounds. We'll have plenty of great music and more. So, is it a date? We'll be waiting for you. Saturday night, July 21st. Be there. So you want to be free.
Live your life the way you want to be. gonna do a song that you never heard before.
The music.
Hit now. We're gonna do a song that you never heard before.
The music.
I knew it. I knew Billy Shears was involved in something. We kept hearing those promos last week that didn't say who it was, but that just Billy Shears fingerprints all over it. At last, the network is coming clean. Billy Shears is going to be doing a music program on this network, and I am thrilled. Billy Shears is the world's most fabulous straight man, and he has probably the world's most fabulous music library. In fact, I didn't have a track I needed for a promo a few weeks ago, and I said, Billy, do you happen to have Bette Midler doing Chapel of Love? And like instantly, I had it to do for the Massachusetts promo. So, Billy, we love you and thank you for all that you do, and I'm so pleased that you are joining us on the Head On Radio Network. It's going to be a fun ride. I think that's going to be Saturdays, if I'm not mistaken, Saturday evening, so we'll have a chat dance. It'll be cool. We were talking about how to write an anti-gay tract in 15 easy seconds, which 15 easy steps, rather, which ties into the what we were doing before regarding the tracts they were handing out at the Gay Pride Parade. Another step is 8, and that's what you manipulate the data. And here's where, you know, you have to put your analytical skills to work. And basically what you do is you use the bisexuals. You see, what you can do is whether you're talking about, you know, the tract is against lesbians or if the tract is against gay folks, you have to understand that bisexuals can opt either side of the, you know, the male-female spectrum. At least that's my best research. Not being bisexual, I'm not trying to put words in you guys' mouth, but I'm just telling you. So what you do is you take the statistics on their behavior, and then you say that, you know, whichever one enhances the wanted result, you say that they are gay, or you say that they are straight, whichever one makes, you know, the group that you're targeting look worse. So you combine the bisexual data with the homosexuals, and so what you end up with is an opportunity arises where, you know, you can sample the survey for a larger population, a snapshot of the smaller groups. It's complicated. This thing goes into formulas and all kind of good stuff. But basically what you do is you manipulate the data using bisexuals. Then what you do is you use step 9, you use your opponent's words against you or against the group. And the way that works is no matter what group it is, doesn't matter, there's always somebody in the crowd who's a radical and who's on some kind of special mission to reform the world and enlighten the ignorant and just go on and on and on. So the way you do that is you find the most radical person you can find, and then you start quoting them, their proclamations, everything they have to say. That scare your target audience, which, of course, in this case, is the straight people. It's not the gay people like they want you to believe. So, you know, no matter who he is or how unpopular he is with the group or she is with the group, that's the person you start quoting because they are the radical. You'll get your best stuff there. Then, before you lose them, you have to take step 10, which is to get really, really kinky. Because you've gone through a lot of sex talk, but now, you know, the readers are getting kind of desensitized to it. You know, their eyes are glazing over. So you have to really kick it up a notch in step 10. You have to talk about drugs and orgies and bondage and bestiality. And you have to throw it all in there. Just really hit them hard with it because it has very, very bad. You have to, you know, get them back on track, which flows right into step 11, which is to cite it as being a threat to marriage and the family. Because, you know, they've been crying about that for years and years and years, the, you know, the anti-sodomy laws, the marriage in Massachusetts, the whole bit. So you have to make it a threat. Then the next step, step 12, is to make it a threat to health. That is also very important. You have to quote medical doctors, and you have to go into the, you know, where they're doing research on sexually transmitted disease. So you have to present the gays and lesbians as being disease-laden, and it's practically mandatory that you use rubber gloves whenever you're around one. And that's the same thing they did with Jewish people, anti-Jewish, anti-black, anti-foreigner, and anti-gay. It's, you know, it's always a health threat. Yeah, it's a health threat. Then, of course, you bring in the sweet little children, and you start bringing in every kind of data you can bring in regarding sexual predators, whether they're adult men who like little girls, as long as you can, you know, bring it in as a threat to children, you're doing fine. Step 14 is you cite a threat to the breakdown of society. Nothing's better than doing that you bring up, rowdy, intoxicated, uninhibited mobs in various stage of undress, like, you know, at Mardi Gras or like that. But step 15, and we talked about this earlier, this is the best part. You have to always close on a compassionate note. You don't hate anybody, honestly. You don't hate anybody. The biblical message is all about compassion, and it's all about loving your neighbor. And I love the homosexuals. We're just trying to help them. We just don't like their same-sex lust and their public fornication and their disease-spreading, marriage-ruining, child-molesting, society-endangering. That's what we hate, but we love the homosexual. We're trying to lead them to Christ. So those are the 15 steps, and you know, no wonder the people at the Gay Pride Parade in Chicago were getting a little out. You know, somebody probably picked one up and read it. So yeah, it upset them. I want to do this segment. I certainly don't want to leave this out tonight because it's just so good. This is the segment where we prove that we existed before Stonewall, and we do that by playing music that came out. So this is just wonderful. This is called He's My Secret Passion by Danny Yates Orchestra. It proves we existed before Stonewall, and the lyrics kick in about 1 minute. You don't want to miss this. This song is too good. Please run He's My Secret Passion. believe that? Can you believe that? That's gayer than what we play today. That's just, he's my secret passion. And someone pointed out recently that he says he gazes, and it's like haze, you know, it's like slipping in the word gay in there. It was just fabulous. Thank you. That is also a track from Daryl in Chicago, and thank you for sending these wonderful old tracks. These are just fabulous. I want to get this story in before it's getting late in the evening, and but this is too good to not include. It's about Stephen Bennett. Now, Stephen Bennett is one of the ex-gay people. He's got a ministry, and he's a former homosexual, blah, 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 blah. So he slipped up. He did a bad, bad boo-boo. Stephen Bennett really slipped up. See, you know, we're talking about we had the audio from the ex-gays. There's one we haven't run audio on named Charlene Coffer. Now, she claims to be an ex-lesbian. She wrote a book. I don't have the name of it in front of me, but I'm sure it's perfectly boring. Anyway, she's been getting a lot of press lately about how great it was to change her life and how successful she is. And you know, this is right on the back of Michael Glatz. You know, he recently joined in this I'm Going to Change, and he was also an out gay activist in a way. But anyway, she here's a quote from a recent appearance that she was on the 700 Club, you know, the faith show. She says, in 2003, I was in Chicago at a gay pride event in the middle of this beautiful park. I took a panoramic view. As far as I could see, there were men with men and women with women, all just partying and having a good time. Shame fell on me. I felt so out of place. I knew something in my spirit spoke that this road leads to destruction and you're on it. So, you know, this Stephen Bennett guy, he's going to cash in, buddy. You know, he's fundraising. He's got, you know, PayPal buttons on his site. And so he's cashing in on the Michael Glatz and the Charlene Coffer, you know, claiming that they're right now. So he's been doing, like, this huge mini tour because, you know, like, promoting his, you know, Get Well Center. And he's talking about Glatz's story as an example of the transformative power of Jesus. As part of the press tour, he spoke with the Concerned Women for America, which is, of course, the one that I say bad things to about. And so, in any case, he speaks, and boy, he slipped. The truth came out. I want you to listen to what he said in front of the Concerned Women for America, and nobody has even bothered to correct this. Would you go ahead and run the clip called, let's see, it's called... Black American people.
And I spoke the other day with Charlene, I believe you pronounce her name, Coffrain, former lesbian editor of Venus Magazine, wonderful woman also, very similar story, how she was at a Chicago gay pride event, and looking over the masses of Black American people, and it was for the first time that she saw, as she described, that dirtiness. She felt dirty. And what I find so amazing is that term that was used by the three of us, and how that term really led each one of us to repentance.
Now, in case you missed that, I have a shorter segment of that if you would run the section, the little clip called Black Dirty, please.
And looking over the masses of Black American people, and it was for the first time that she saw, as she described, that dirtiness. She felt dirty.
Now, you see, he's trying to tell the story of Charlene Coffer, and I've already read you her statement. She took a panoramic view, and there were men with men and women with women. Nothing about Black folks in here. But he slipped, and he said, see, he holds Black people in the same disdain as he does gay people, and he's saying that it made her feel dirty. Actually, it made her feel dirty. And, you know, what's so amazing about this is nobody's trying to correct it. The Concerned Women for America are not trying to correct it. They're not making any statement. They're not trying to edit it out. It's a huge blunder. It's just huge. This man actually goes in front of a huge bunch of people and quotes this woman as saying she... No, how did he put it? Run the short segment again.
And looking over the masses of Black American people... And it was for the first time that she saw, as she described, that dirtiness. She felt dirty.
Touch it, touch it, touch it, touch me. Oh, I'm sorry. Here. Just amazing stuff. I just wanted to see when these people actually bear their dirty, filthy, evil little spirits, you finally hear. You finally hear what they're about. Yeah, the black people and the gay people made her feel dirty. And my site is blah, 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 blah. Send me money. Come get well. So, yeah, that's about the way the thing goes. I'll tell you what, I really wanted to get this into. I didn't do it the other evening, but I would like to get it in tonight. You remember the other night we played the dance track of the night? It was actually, we did sort of a folk song. It was from Boomba, yes. And it was called Homophobia. We did the folk version. And just to prove to you that you can remix anything and make a dance song of it, this is the Sisters remix of Chumbawamba doing Homophobia. It is to die for. It is so unlike the folk song version, you're just not going to believe it. This, go ahead, please run the Homophobia remix, please.
We'll be right back.
That's a great track. That was something, of course, I never played when I was DJing in gay clubs, simply because it wasn't out at that time. But that's a great track. We were discussing in production chat. I wonder how they did that. I guess they just somehow or another faded the folk song completely out of it. The tempo is about the same, except for the double time beat on the thing. It's a great song. Love that. That's the Sisters mix. That is the Sisters mix. You know, as usual, as the show starts coming to an end, I have lots of leftover articles. And as usual, I have one that is huge, and there's absolutely no time to do it tonight. We'll have to wait till Monday to do this particular one. It's about the Christian Reconstructionists trying to take dominion over America for God. You know, I'm just fascinated by these people. I'm just fascinated by them. That never on the face of this planet has there been such evil coming from the church, or has it always been? I guess the Crusades were kind of evil. The Spanish Inquisition, that was kind of evil. How do these people get away with this and still call themselves Christian? And, you know, we're talking about the memory hole, too. You know, the Christian Bible memory hole, you know, still says that that blacks should be slaves in the Bible. But, you know, now that we're not allowing that anymore, it goes into the biblical memory hole. Nobody remembers that anymore. All gone, poof. Still says that women should keep their mouths shut and follow, and that they should be property and, you know, not be able to vote as well as children. The Bible still says that. But, you know, once they fought like hell to get their rights, we didn't give them anything. Nobody gives anybody anything in this damn planet, least of all rights. Anyway, fought for their rights. Oh, that all goes down the Bible memory hole. Ah, everybody forgets it. And it'll be the same with us. You know, one day, you know, when we get our rights, when we fight, when a few more of us are drugged behind trucks and you know, set on fire in the chair in their little mobile home somewhere in Alabama, you know, once that happens to a few more people, 100, 200, you know, it's like the Iraq War. How many more? How many more, you jackasses? How many more before we can join the planet like the rest of the people? You know, and it'll go down the Bible memory hole. Nobody will ever remember, you know, that just all forgotten. Never mind, the Bible says all these nasty things. You know, but these people are such hypocrites. Production chat points out it's the marriage between church and state. Anyway, I do want to mention this, that they've got it right in The Hague. Gay rights organizations there are demanding that anyone who has been convicted of assaulting a homosexual be permanently banned from entering areas that are known to be frequented by gays. In other words, it's sort of like one of those orders, a court order, you know, what is it, stay away from me order, Lord, I'm so old, I can't call it. In any case, so they can't. So it's a great idea. Yes, it's an injunction. Thank you, Bob. And it's a great idea, but, you know, here we can't even get, you know, we can't even get a hate crimes law, much less banning people who have beaten the hell out of us from areas that were known to be, you know, like San Francisco, for instance. This comes after an incident when some people who were ages 15 to 19 murdered some folks. You know, the same old story. You know, it's different country, different day, different weather, different temperature, different weapons, but the death is the same. I'm so glad to have been here this week, and I'm so glad to have had you along with me. Please stop by the Strictly Confidential Radio.com site. You'll find links to getting the music you've heard on the show. You'll find